Hello, and welcome to episode 325
in a row
of Sprek and Say Geek. I'm Pat.
I'm Hammer. You getting a little tired, a little cold?
Yeah. This is our Week in Geek. This week we're going to bring you our review of It Chapter 2, our streaming review of Hurt Locker. We're going to cover just a few little things for nerd news, not many, but we are going to talk about our, since this is where we've decided to end our summer movie season, we're going to talk about some of our summer movie memories, some of our hits and misses and things along those lines. And then obviously the pod question. So as we do for every movie that's in the theaters, we're going to start with a spoiler-free review. This is for It Chapter 2, so we're only going to give away what was in the trailers, which isn't much. I mean, Pennywise is back, the kids are grown up, and they need to go back to Deary to battle the clown once again.
I want to make a really terrible Imagine Deary joke, but I just couldn't, like, I couldn't stick it, because I'm like, they're fighting an imaginary, and that would have been perfect. I can't do it, I'm too tired.
I mean, Imagine Deary kind of works. Yeah,
I was trying to figure out something else, because it's not Legendary, definitely not. I'm like, what the fuck would you name your town Deary?
Legend Deary.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what you get from the trailers is essentially the clown's back, the adult losers have to go back and battle the clown.
I wish I didn't see that scene.
Which scene?
The scene they do in the first trailer. I would have liked snippets of that, I think.
Which scene did they do in the first
trailer? The first time that the first trailer they showed for It with the old lady.
Oh. But it's even creepier.
It is genuinely
because they
creepier.
Change it in the movie than what it is in the trailer.
But like,
but yes, I wish they hadn't
shown enough of a snippet of a scene.
What did we see? We saw a trailer for some horror movie that has Cary Elwes in it.
Which is so weird.
No.
It's like Black Christmas, I think.
Something like that. But we're like, I'm pretty sure you just gave
the ending away.
Pretty much everything away. There might be another twist in there somewhere, but like, now I know going into it, kind of like we said with the, not Quiet Place, but the dude who was blind and they were robbing him.
Oh, Don't Breathe.
Don't Breathe, yeah. And we were like, why would you show that he has somebody chained up in his basement?
Yeah.
Like,
make it seem, because it would have been great to not know.
Yes, and we go into it going, well, we know there's something going on in his basement.
Yeah.
Why would you show that? And I feel that way about Cary Elwes. I liked that, but it set up Chapter 2 pretty well,
yeah.
I think, that it puts you back in that mind frame. But one thing I'm going to definitely recommend is see or rewatch Chapter 1. There's a lot of things that they reference. There's a lot of characters that come back that you might forget. And there are like time jumps between present time and the 80s when they first fought It or Pennywise. And it'll leave you a little clouded if you aren't very familiar with the movie.
Especially in the beginning, I would say. Like, it kind of jumps you into it, seeing these people. And if you...
There was somebody that came back, and I was like, you were a kid. How are you back at the same age?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, oh no, it's a flash. But, like, it's right after a scene that happens present time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a weird transition of, like, well, huh?
That's the one... my thought is this. Their casting is spot on, but if you don't the first one, it's going to take you a while to realize who's who,
yes.
And it'll take you a while to realize how good the casting is, because the casting is spot freaking on, but again, this is a movie that you're meant to watch the first one prior to it.
Yes.
I
wish they had done double dose showings.
I would have seen the shit out of that. I really enjoyed it.
I liked it.
It's not as good as the first one,
yep.
But I think it's a hard thing to top.
Yeah.
The biggest problem is I try to spoil anything.
The ending was lackluster, I felt.
Especially for what it does.
Yeah.
And again, it still does a great thing of balancing comedy and horror.
Yeah.
sometimes at the same fucking time, which I think is actually a really good compliment to both this and the first one. It's not a movie that I see, it's not often that I see horror movies do that balance so well, because that's usually not their aim. They just want to make you jump and be scared. This one makes you jump, scare, then laugh, and then scares you again, and makes you laugh at the first scare, and you're like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
But it does it well. And I still had a good time going. Like, for me, horror movies, personally, I don't like seeing them alone. I like seeing them in a group because there's something about the energy in a group. And it was a good, fun group.
And you're safer. And
oh, yeah, 100%. At least I feel that way. What about you, sir?
I mean, I liked it. I didn't leave this one as I left the first hit going, oh, my God, that was fucking amazing. I left it going, all right, that was good. I didn't leave it disappointed. I didn't leave it upset or anything. I just left it like... And they poke fun of Stephen King kind of early in the movie of, like, he can't write endings, and I kind of feel like, yeah, this needed to go through the Netflix producer gauntlet, because, like...
Sorry, you made me die.
The ending's kind of...
Don't make that noise too much. I forgot. I actually do really wonder, though, if... I kind of want to go back and watch the first and the second one back to back, and I do think there might be, it might help it. I'm curious. Maybe. I'm curious to see how that goes. Maybe even on second showing, because I watched the first one again a while back, and I was like, I had to turn it off because, like, man, I need people around me.
I mean, that's one thing. Like, and I don't know if I'm remembering it differently, but that violin
they didn't use it at all.
I didn't remember it in this at all, and I remember it distinctly in the first It, and it was creepy and cool.
Yeah, they didn't use it at all. I don't remember that at all.
Not that I remember, no.
I actually didn't remember the violin until you mentioned it. That's all about sex and violins.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, I think, yes, both to go see it still. Yeah, sorry. Move along. Nothing to see here.
Yeah, I definitely... I'm definitely going to say go see it. I'm not... If you like the first one, I think you'll like this one.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're going to like it as much as the first one.
And also, if you haven't seen the first one at all, I think you're going to be missing out a shit ton.
Yeah, you need to see the first one.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to come back a little bit later with our spoiler-filled review, but now we're going to get to our review of our streaming movie, which was brought to us by Hammer.
I'm sorry. We watched The Hurt Locker.
You're sorry?
Yeah. I mean, like, I can start off right now is that I remember this being a big thing.
I do remember it being a very big thing.
People talked a lot about it, and is it James Cameron's ex-wife?
So I know Linda Hamilton was his ex-wife, and I think Catherine Bigelow is his current wife or is also his ex-wife. They were married at some point. I don't know if they still are or whatever. Because
before I said something else. I didn't say James Cameron, right?
Or no, you said Linda Hamilton.
Yeah, but I can't
remember. And anyways, then I said it was Patty Jenkins. Yeah. And then the Hero Life man was like, no, it was Catherine Bigelow. I was like, that's right.
It's still... my biggest problem is that I don't see why this was that good of a movie. I don't see why it was such a big deal.
No.
I didn't know what to really expect besides bomb defusement things. And I was surprised to see Anthony Mackie in it. I was like, cool.
Dude, I love Anthony Mackie.
Yeah. And I mean, I even like young Jeremy Renner, but I don't care about this movie.
It's a dude that the only thing he feels that he's good at...
is disarming bombs.
Is disarming bombs.
And that's what he gets his kicks off.
Right.
End of movie.
Yeah. I don't know why this is a movie, I guess. Like...
it feels like scenes cut out of a movie. Like,
and my, you know, I lost my brother,
yes,
at the war through an IED. So, like, there's a part where the colonel,
oh yes, he's
like hits
people.
An IED, and I'm like, hit the pause button and kind of calm down for a second. I was like, okay, and then I get back into it because, like, that was the only thing that got me, and that's because I have an actual like connection to that. Other than that, I was like, oh, all right. Like, it's not bad. It's just not good. Like, I don't... it won Best Picture. And I'm just
That's
like...
That's the part that gets
what,
me.
What else was nominated in 2006? Because, like, I've not trusted the Academy since Saving Private Ryan lost to Shakespeare in Love in 1999. Like, the fact that that movie won... over Saving Private Ryan. I was like, you guys have no idea what you're talking about. And I can't find anybody that liked.
Was it 2006? Are you sure?
I thought it was 2006. But I can't find anybody that likes Saving Private Ryan. Hurt Locker was fine. It's, there's not anything bad, but like, I don't understand. I mean, I'm with you. I was 2009. I guess I was off. I'm with you where I don't understand why it was such a big deal.
I don't think it was the Best Picture nominee. It won something.
I swear it was the winner for. Why don't you just? But I like. I'm. Yeah, I'm right there with you where I wasn't. 2010. It was
not. That's why. I don't really fucking understand.
No.
And that's my problem, is that it honestly makes me feel like this was an original Netflix movie before Netflix.
Kind of.
Because it doesn't have an ending. There's not really a point. The point is that he gets his kicks off and that he comes back. But the way that it focuses on the other characters as well, they're just collateral, and I guess maybe that's the point. But I didn't feel anything, and it didn't really drive me. Like, I got bored.
Mm-hmm.
And I also didn't know what they're trying to play. And I'm like, okay, maybe they're going to make a thing where he's the one who's actually setting up the extra bombs and stuff like that. I was like, that'd be kind of a great twist kind of thing. Are they new twists, or is it going to be anything like, this is real life, and it's going to bomb, like, disarm so many bombs or something like that?
Well,
like,
I mean, yeah, and you had part of real lives of, like, the body bombs they talk about, and it's like, oh, fuck, like... But it almost felt like two movies, because at one point he kind of is going on an investigation to try and figure out who murdered the kid to put a bomb in him, and
there's nothing,
there's
and
no resolution
he,
to that at all.
And then
all.
He runs after and starts holding up dudes, and I'm like, yeah. All right.
I'm gonna say skip it if you haven't seen this. I don't.
Oh, I'm 100% saying
yeah,
skipping.
I don't understand what the big hubbaloo
so,
of it was.
I think I remember now, and I had to go look it up. Sorry, we've been doing like Google searching on it, which is faux pas, but whatever. So, 2010, Catherine Bigelow's Hurt Locker was up against James Cameron's Avatar for Best Picture.
Was this the first year of 10 nominees?
I guess. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out and figure this out, because it's like weird as shit. It's also when The Blind Side was in, and Precious. But I'm like...
But also District 9? I love District 9. I don't put that in Best Picture.
I would say best, like, best graphic effects and stuff like that, maybe?
Yeah, but like, Best Picture?
No.
For District 9?
No.
This is where I'm like, I don't agree with the critics on movies, and I don't understand Best Picture on this thing.
Like,
I'm definitely a skip.
I'm totally skipping, because I didn't actually remember. I remember being nominated. I didn't know it got one. But this movie's boring.
Yeah.
And again, you're right. That was a very impactful scene. Even the him finding the boy and then deciding not to blow up his body and actually like try to reclaim his body. I'm like,
yeah.
That was sweet. That's about it. Skip it. 100%.
Yeah, 100% skip it. Same. Now we're going to go back to another movie that we both missed when it came out. I've heard nothing but great things about this movie, and I'm sure the Hetero Life Mate's going to send me a message of like, no. But we're going to watch Shutter Island on Amazon Prime with Leonardo DiCaprio. I've been wanting to watch this for a long time.
It
was on my Netflix queue forever.
Oh, yeah, it's been on my, not Netflix, but it's been on the periphery. I've really wanted to see it for a while because
mm-hmm.
the trailers looked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Martin Scorsese movie, which generally means that at least there'll be very good craftsmanship in the movie
mm-hmm.
if you don't like it, but it's got DiCaprio, so I'm like, yeah, we really need to get a movie where DiCaprio does nothing but behead people. So he's like decapitating DiCaprio, because then you can call him DD. It'd be amazing. Just pitch that movie. Done.
So if you have anything else to watch on HBO Go, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, let us know at battenhammer@gmail.com. Battenhammer on Twitter, Spriggins the Geek on Facebook. You can reach me. I'm at Taro Skippy.
I'm at Kevin Kalis. Make sure to like us, love us, and share us every Monday morning on SoundCloud, unless I completely forget and sleep in and post it on Tuesday. That's on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Stitcher.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and get to this week's nerd news. Just a couple topics to talk about. One, Hammer, what you playing?
Final Fantasy VIII. My God, I'm playing the shit out of that.
Me too. Where are you at?
Honestly, I just captured the fake president.
Oh, shit. You're way ahead of me.
No, it's not that far ahead. Like, you're that's way the, ahead that's of me. The train little thing, right?
Yeah, you're way ahead of me.
Really?
I'm doing my first seed mission right now.
Oh, my God. Wow. Okay.
Dude, I spent days just drawing.
So, to be fair... To be fair.
To be fair.
Did you actually get that?
No. Oh. But, like, I see the memes everywhere, and I was like, well, I can figure this out.
It works. It's good. I was sick on Tuesday, and I was
the day it came out.
The day that it came out, and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I was like, I felt like shit, and I was like, fuck it. I'm going to buy this, and I was like, angry buy, and then I went to bed and woke up, and it was installed, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go play it now. And then
angry buy.
Yeah, because I was so pissed, because I was like, I have to go to work, I have shit I have to get done. I'm like, I feel like fucking crap. And then I was like, fuck, I'll buy it. And then I passed out, and then I woke up with my controller in my hand going like, what have I done? And I'm like, all right, cool. And then I started playing it, and yeah, I drew all to 100.
Yeah.
And then I forgot until later in the game that you can move your spells over to people. And I was like, motherfucker. Every time I meet a new person and there's a question mark, I'm like, I'm drawing the shit out of that. Spoilers, the president has zombie and something
full
else.
Full life, I think.
Yeah, not full life.
Because you can draw from him and cast it on him and kill him.
He doesn't have full life.
Maybe he has cure.
He has cure.
Yeah.
But you can do, it's the same thing with like Diablos. When you get that, you can use Demi, draw and use Demi on him, and then that's pretty much the only way you can kill him. But I was like sitting here going like, draw. I'm like, oh, great, cool. And there's like, oh, I can go in battles. This game has triple triad, right?
That it does.
That's where I spend most of my time.
We've talked about this before with Final Fantasy VII, with Final Fantasy IX, and now again, Final Fantasy VIII. The times three speed is a godsend. Godsend.
It absolutely fucking is.
These games that come, especially RPGs.
Yes.
Like, I know God of War has done a remaster, the first one, and like, you don't need a times three on that. No. Because, but something like this, and we talked about this off air, of like, we went to battles without the times three just to see, and
God, no.
Wow.
I had a lot of time as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I also drew a lot.
Oh, yeah, I drew all the time.
But the thing about these games especially is that they're doing things to make these games more
quality approachable. Of life.
Yeah, they're quality of life things, and it's important. Not just that, the graphics are, for the models,
fine.
Well, no, but for the models, it's great. When you look at the retrospect, they spent a lot of fucking time,
yes,
on it. And it's really fucking funny when you can tell, because I read a thing where they only did the models, they left all the backgrounds.
Because they don't have the code.
Correct. And the backgrounds, a lot of the time, some of the people are pixelized, so you see really good models and background characters. Mm-hmm. It's like, you ever feel like you're a background character that doesn't have to get a remaster? But, like, I haven't used the no battles, and I haven't used the infinite life. I mean, I can if I want to, but that three times thing for this genre makes a huge fucking difference.
Yeah.
Like, any other remasters, dear fucking God, please do that. Make it easier to play the games, because I know.
Especially when you get games like Witcher, which are just massive games, and you've got Red Dead, which takes
fucking forever.
Forever to get from point A to point B, and you're just like, why would you do this?
You're artificially making a waste of time.
Yes.
And it's not in a fun
way. Look at how big the game is.
Who the fuck cares?
Okay. Did you put any story in this game?
Yeah, maybe you could have done a bit more of that.
I mean, everybody seems to fucking love Red Dead 2, and I don't get it.
But it's alright, whatever. Lenny! That's my favorite part.
I need to fucking beat the game so I can delete it from my
goddamn
hard drive.
Yeah, you do. Good lord. I need to go trade my
name. I have no interest in it. At all.
Well, at this point, I feel like you probably should just trade it in and say fuck it.
Probably be like, sure, I beat it.
And they'll like get like $5 for it. No, I'm fucking loving it.
That's if GameStop is still around.
Oh, snap.
I'll take it to you.
Well, they have, you know, exactly. I actually feel like I'm really actually super fucking into this. And the three times, you're right, it makes it better, especially the game battles and stuff like that. I'm like, fuck, I tried that, and it blew my mind how slow the game is, and I now understand why everyone hated drawing all the time.
I understood why they hated it at the time. I loved it, because it didn't bother me, but I understood why people hated it. But people
in Max are like crazy.
But people judge the game of 8 based solely on draw. And I'm like, you're missing a great story with fantastic characters and just...
That's what I'm interested in getting into, is I never got that because I quit a long time ago. I think it was high school the last time I fucking played the game. And I never beat it. I don't remember. It's like playing a new game right now. I'm like, fuck this. I'm like, what the shit? I know the character. I'm like, what the shit? The only thing I remember is Triple Triad pretty well. And I'm like, you have Angelo's card. I'm going to get that dog card from you, bitch.
All right. It looks like Super Nintendo has been added to Nintendo's online store.
I downloaded the client part of it, but I haven't played any games yet. But yeah, they dropped 20 fucking games on it, too. Like, right off the bat, which is huge.
And some of the really good ones.
Yeah, like Super Mario World. Yeah. Like, that alone. Fucking love Super Mario World.
That was a launch title.
And Super Metroid's on there, too. And Link. God damn, they have a lot of the fucking games on there.
Yeah.
It's like, why did I buy a fucking SNES Classic? Because they all have the rewind feature, too, I believe. So, like, you motherfuckers.
I mean, I have an SNES Classic because...
It looks pretty.
And we I buy guess. Stuff. It's just sitting on my speaker right now. I've not used it since we moved. But I'll keep it, and every time I'll look at it, I'll be like, why is the Chrono Trigger not on here?
That's why I keep hoping. I'm like, I would love for them to remaster that and just add quality of life, things like that.
Oh my god.
Make it approachable. Fucking be amazing.
The problem, like, one of the problems that they did with the ports, like, the PS1 port is really bad.
It's slow.
It's, I mean, saying there's a bad version of Chrono Triggers. There's no such thing as a bad version. But, like, you spend a lot of time in menus, and when you go to load battles or menus, there's, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 second pauses. And while that's not a lot,
that's a lot when it happens every time. Yeah.
Yep. I'm going to say, oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Bad Boys 3 trailer. It exists. But
I like how I was like saying, I haven't seen it yet. And then it popped up and we're like, there you go.
Yeah. I guess we'll see it. Sure.
I'm trying to see what else is on that. I don't think there's anything else you'd care about the Switch stuff.
One thing that Warner Brothers is doing... Oh, the new Star Wars... or old Star Wars stuff is coming back.
Yeah, I know. I was seeing that. Like the... which is it? Jedi Knight 2?
Jedi Knight. Yep. But it's coming back for everything. But one thing that Warner Brothers is doing, which is really weird...
I didn't know about this until you said it.
They are releasing trailers now only for theater view. They did it with Tenet, which is Christopher Nolan's new movie. Still haven't seen the trailer, so I have no idea what's going on here. And then just recently we got a trailer for...
I think I did.
Did you?
I think I did.
We got a trailer for Birds of Prey.
Yeah, which...
doesn't really show anything.
No, but I fucking forgot that movie was coming out.
It's kind of like Dark Phoenix, where you're like, they're not going to release that. And then they keep showing trailers like, we're going to release this. Like, no, you're not. And then they release it, you're like, you sons of bitches, you did it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks like a movie. I mean, I'm curious. It's not exactly what I've asked for, but at the same time, I'm like, we're getting a movie that is different. It's colorful. It's Margot Robbie.
Joker's coming out, and I can't wait for that.
Dude, your little woke little thing that you found, I was like, whoa. I don't want, no. I saw that, and maybe I was like, whoa. Okay.
I fucking hate people. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get to our summer movie wrap-up. And so we're going to kind of play rapid fire here. I'm going to ask Hammer a whole bunch of questions. He has no idea. He has no idea what's coming up. So I'm going to start with, what was your favorite movie of summer? That one's easy. We're going to start slow. Start small.
I actually, like, it's... Fuck.
Wow.
So I really want to say Shazam.
Shazam!
I really do. But I really feel like it's Toy Story 4.
Oh.
Okay. Every time I see it in the theaters, I'm like, fuck, I want to go back and watch it again. It was a lot of fun. It was really surprising, and I absolutely didn't want it. And it taught me to love it. Shazam, I wanted it. I really like Shazam, but...
I still don't want Toy Story 4. It was good. It was fine. Mm-hmm. I still don't want it. You know?
Oh, my God. Really?
It didn't need to exist. I would have rather had, I don't know, like a Toy Story cartoon on Disney Plus where they're passing the torch to new toys.
Maybe.
As opposed to a Disney Toy Story 4. But whatever. Like, yeah. It's a good movie. I'm not saying anything bad about the movie, but I still don't want it. Like,
what about you?
Shazam. 100% Shazam. I
knew it was. You've been saying it like the
entire
podcast.
Dude, I love Shazam.
It is a fucking great movie.
It's so fun.
Finally got Jackie to watch it.
And we don't really have fun comic book movies anymore.
Well, we have...
They tried with Aquaman, and Aquaman was fun, but like...
You mean fun DC comic book movies? That's all that Marvel does.
Even fun Marvel movies. They did Ragnarok, which was fun.
Yeah, Ragnarok's a lot
but
of fun. They tried with
Guardians 2 wasn't fun.
Guardians 2 was not fun.
I didn't think Captain Marvel was fun.
Captain Marvel tried, but it was being too serious for its own good. Guardians 2 was a terrible movie. I tried watching it again.
Obviously, Infinity War wasn't fun. Endgame
was
wasn't fun.
For me, but I'm
but I love Infinity War, but it's not fun.
Yeah.
There's a vast difference.
Vast difference. There you go.
Take a shot.
Lines. Oh, I got it. Oh, over there. So good. But it also has a lot of heart. Like, that movie had surprising amount of heart.
It's a movie about family.
Mm-hmm.
Just one of them happens to have superpowers.
Yep.
What was your most disappointing movie?
This I do have to think about, because it's actually between... has to be one I saw, too.
Well, yeah. You can't disappoint a movie you didn't see. You might have liked it. I like
so.
It. I like
yeah,
the
no,
surprise.
The suspense is perfect.
But I like making you.
So, I have two, because if you want me to tell you what this is not the most. You said disappointing, right?
Yes.
No, then I have one. It'd be X-Men.
Okay,
I did see
that,
Dark Phoenix, and it's not. Because it's terrible. It is. It's not a great movie. It's because of it's the culmination of the absolute waste of a really fun cast. And it's also the dying breath that they chose to leave Fox on it. And I actually feel like that was a tactical move to like put it out still and say,
fuck
like,
you.
Yeah, well, it's
to
also
poison
saying, like,
the brand almost.
Yeah, to be able to say, like, you want us to have this because otherwise you get this. That's kind of what I felt about it. Like, that was the most disappointing movie.
Okay.
What about you?
I went with Hobbs and Shaw, oddly enough.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, no, I get that because when we talked about the conversation.
The trailers look so fun, and then coming out of the movie, I was like, this wasn't fun at all.
I had more fun than you, but I
yes.
totally get where you're coming
and
from.
And I almost went with Endgame. I like Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
It's the third best Avengers movie.
Yeah.
Like, out of the four, it's the third best.
No.
What are you doing?
What am I
How
doing?
How are you going? How are you going?
It's honestly, it's second because it's Infinity and Endgame.
Oh, okay.
Then it's the first and then it's the second one.
Huh. See, I have Avengers and Endgame swap.
No, and it's you're not wrong. Like, again, like, obviously, you're wrong.
I'm wrong with my opinion.
But I mean, like, I get it why. As, like, those last two movies, though, are really. I think they do a great job of not only teeing up, but culminating everything. The first movie is fun. In a retrospect, it's okay. It's not bad at all.
Right.
And honestly, I also still feel like the second movie is actually better than I remember it. But I put those almost on even keel when I watched those two movies. Those movies are like the final form kind of thing. Kind of bullshit. But yeah.
What was your most surprising movie?
Shit. Surprising how?
Just that you weren't expecting it to be as good as it was, or you weren't expecting to like it as much as you did.
There's, fuck all. Honestly, I'm gonna have to go with Endgame, and the only reason why is because I was worried how much it was gonna fucking suck. But when I get to the last 40 minutes of that movie, and there's even that song I now know is on my Shazam list of Portals, once that hits the On Your Left point, I was fucking surprised how excited I was that I was just... The only the most disappointing part about that is I didn't have a bowl of cereal in my hand and it wasn't Saturday morning. That fucking took me back, like, hardcore. And that's why that movie is the most surprising, is because of that whole moment. Everything leading up to that, I was like, no other Marvel movies can come out and I'd be fine. Because that made it worth it. What about you?
Detective Pikachu.
Really?
Because I don't care about Pokemon at all.
Okay.
Like, I don't even know the mythos of Pokemon. Like, I know the rough generalization of what Pokemon is because, yeah. I mean, you kind of have to if you live. But I have no interest in Pokemon. I don't care. And I came out of that. I was like, that was fun. I enjoyed that movie.
And it was a sweet movie.
It was.
And it was actually pretty. It was your paid by numbers, but it was pretty.
Yeah.
How about this? Do you have another one? Because I do.
I actually almost went with Aladdin.
For surprising?
Yeah.
I
was expecting to be total trash.
And it's the best remake you've ever made.
Yes, still my favorite.
Again, yeah. I the worst part about it is I just wish they would have retweaked the ending a little bit. But again, it was good. Again, Disney did... Not terrible. How about this? What was the one that you had the most fun with? Can't use Shazam.
Okay. John Wick 3. Because I thoroughly enjoy just watching him do whatever he's going to do. And he does whatever he's going to do. And you're right. The book, you're just like...
That's the way they started the movie, and you're like...
All right. Yeah, and...
Horse.
It gets to the end where you're like... Really? But you just let it happen because you're like, well, it means more John Wick, so...
I'll get more shit to pull. Yeah. Like, favorite weapon is easily horse. Because he used...
Over the book?
Yeah, okay. Over the book. The book was...
And he charged the horse, slapped his ass.
Yeah, I was like, boom, dead. Mine was Godzilla.
Godzilla was fun.
That was like a fucking wrestling match, and it was... I want to go back and watch, like, Godzilla, Kong, and then that.
But, I mean, the same thing that I bring up is we didn't have that moment that we had in the first Godzilla.
Yeah.
Where he takes the fucking... Yeah. Like, oh. No,
you're right. It had a lot of small moments of just... It had a shit ton of battles. It didn't have one culmination battle, but it had a shit ton of battles, mm-hmm. So I was okay with that. How do you feel about the summer? Do you feel like it was good, bad, in between, or?
For the most part, I feel it was good. I don't know where we're at with people in movies. Like, I don't, and we've talked about this before, but I don't know if I'm, because we see so many,
mm-hmm.
that I have higher expectations than the general public,
mm-hmm.
or if, I just expect more out of movies, but when I see some people that are you know, raving about certain movies that I saw, I'm like, what did you see? Because I didn't see that. Yeah. And yeah. I mean, kind of...
Hobbs and Shaw was one of them.
Hobbs and Shaw, people seem to really like it. Endgame.
Yeah.
I was like, it was fine, but there were people walking out going, you know, I was crying and this, and I'm like... But why? I miss that...
I feel like you have...
I think Sarah did too when Iron Man died, and I'm like... Shit. But I'm like... Okay?
I've had those moments, like... Far From Home was...
Okay.
It was okay. And that's when I'm like, maybe Sony will do something better with it.
But people have Disney blinders.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And... It's unfortunate.
Far From Home, the best thing about it was the damn Mysterio scene. That shit was fucking amazing.
Mysterio was the best part of Far From Home.
Which is good, because you need good villains.
But Spider-Man was weak.
He was
fine.
Yeah.
But I didn't... Like, he's better in the Avengers movies than he is in his own movie.
I know, it's like someone snapped and he went away real quick.
It feels like he's almost a limber Incredible Hulk.
Kind of. I think, like we talked about it with that, where they finally, it seemed like they kind of got why Spider-Man's cool on the bridge scene, but it took them a lot to get there. But again, Endgame for me, like, I won't lie, my first time seeing it was amazing, but I saw right off, there was a bunch of people, like, I was wearing my headphones all the way up into the fucking theater, because I didn't trust nobody.
Right.
But the entire theater was into it, and I was like, it was like basically rooting for a fucking sports match and shit. Like, it was crazy, and everyone, like,
oh,
emotions
yeah.
rampant.
No, it was amazing.
I saw it the second two times, saw three fucking times, and it was different. Didn't have as much of the same impact every time. But again, like, there are definitely moments where I feel like someone's like, I'm super excited, and I was like, are you? Like, someone's like, Good Boys is really, like, the Good Boys is really good. I'm like, it was okay.
Oh, yeah, we saw that, didn't we?
Yeah, but I was like, again, it was all shock value. There's no substance. Like, a bunch of shit like that. So I totally get where you're going there. And I think it's just that we see it, we talk about it, and we don't dive as much as, like, people get paid for this shit, obviously.
Right.
Where, like, I would... It makes me never want to do that, to get, like, paid out to do it, because I feel like you'd have to analyze everything so much to get clicks and views and get earn your bankroll and shit.
Talk about all the themes. And
you'd be, like, but I'm like, and you're picking apart, like, so much that what's left.
The funny thing is, when a movie does themes well, we love it. Perfection. Mm. The themes were so good in that. Yeah. Like, we talked about how good the themes were.
Yeah.
What are the themes in Endgame? Go back in time. But time travel doesn't matter. But time travel matters. But you can't do things. But you can do
It was all about nostalgia.
Yeah, it was just like, look, we're bringing it all back. And we're setting up the Loki TV show. And we're setting up the Winter Soldier and Falcon. And, like, okay. And I know it sounds like I'm shitting on Endgame.
No, I'm not.
I liked Endgame.
You can like it and, like, still, like, pick at it. Like, that's...
It's, like, weird that we can do that.
I know. It's a superpower we have.
But, like, I almost feel like we're the only ones that can... And I want to say we don't. But, like, when I read stuff online, if somebody has a criticism, they are immediately haters and...
That's the internet.
And I'm like... There are criticisms. Like, I'm going to talk about Salt Lake here in a second, and it's amazing.
That's all good, man. But, yeah, like, I do get that there are some times with movies, especially, and that's, like, look at the summer, and I'm like, there's some things that I missed, and some of the things I got that, like, I still, like, on our list was it, The Farewell wasn't on it, and I liked The Farewell. I think it was actually, like, that movie stuck with me afterwards. I didn't love it, but it stuck with me. Then there's also, what is it, the one that we missed, Ready or Not.
Midsommar as well.
Like, I didn't
Child's see- Play, Pet Sematary.
I didn't see Yesterday, like, and stuff like that.
That's,
like,
a lot of horror movies for summer. Which feels really weird to me.
Midsommar, that was way too on the nose. Good lord. Overall, I felt it was good. There's quite a few times where I felt like it was kind of missed expectations. Like, Pokemon movie for me, I'm like, I liked it. But it didn't blow my socks off.
No.
Godzilla, I really did like it. But you're right, it didn't blow my socks off on the points.
Sadly.
The things that were, like... Endgame, like, it's hard for Endgame to fail entirely. Like, it could have been bad and still would have been decent.
Right.
Which is crazy. Shazam was surprising.
Yes.
Toy Story was surprising to me.
Yeah, I really liked Toy Story.
But, I don't know, it was a mixed bag.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, it felt pretty good. And my cat's going schizo,
yeah,
so
no
I can
kidding.
Hear the blinking.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay for a mixed bag summer, though.
Yeah, well, it's better than a bad summer.
Yes. We've had those.
Or mid-summer. I'm done. All right. So you wanted to talk about SLCC?
Salt Lake Comic Con was this weekend.
Was it this weekend?
Yes.
Really?
Ian McDiarmid and Hayden Christensen were there.
Who? Ian McDiarmid?
The Emperor.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
They had a panel.
Okay.
Disney canceled their panel.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck Disney. That's...
I mean, we're assuming because we don't know what the content of the panel is, but...
Right, but they couldn't do it due to contractual restrictions. And I'm like, why can you do the panel if anybody asks anything about episode 9? You're like, we can't answer anything about anything that maybe that is filmed or maybe coming up.
Yeah.
We can only talk about movies and TV shows that we've been in the past.
Yeah.
Because for some of the people, like... That's going to be their only time to ever see Hayden Christensen. He doesn't do the con circuit, really.
I'm surprised that he just didn't do a show up. He's trying to do his little meeting of... he's going to make biscuits.
Right. do his little show up. What do you mean?
I'm surprised he didn't just show up to do like pictures, because he couldn't show up for at all.
No, they were there, but they canceled the panel.
Yeah.
And I mean, for some people, it would be nice to go to a panel of Hayden Christensen and Ian McDiarmid, and like it's Disney fucking whipping their dick out, being like, "You love this," and people aren't.
It's gonna take
as
people
upset as
way
they
too
should
long.
Be, I think.
Yeah, people. It's gonna take people way too long to realize they don't like all of what Disney does. And by that point, I'm probably too late anyways.
Well, yeah.
As like,
they'll own everybody.
I don't want them to own Sony.
No.
I don't want them to own any other studios. I really didn't want them to own Fox.
No, I didn't either.
They could have worked out a fucking deal if they really wanted to, but they bought the damn studio, and I'm like, we don't need one global conglomerate owning every single thing. My cats are fucking strange, because it's like their nighttime thing. They're like, dude, I don't care about you. I'm making biscuits, bitch.
They're
like, he's like pressed up against you and everything.
They're hopped up on Notos and caffeine and cocaine.
Fuck you.
But that, yeah, that was just, that rubbed me the wrong way. I'm not a big fan of that.
Well, it's SLCC. I would say SLCC rubs you the wrong way usually, too.
I mean, I like Salt Lake City.
I'm surprised it happened. I didn't even know what was going on.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, oh, fuck, I thought that already happened. Wow. Like,
all right, so we're going to go ahead and get to this week's pod question, which was brought to us by our buddy over here, Hammer.
I want to know, what was the last magazine that you bought or subscribed to?
We got our answer from Mando, or TK, and he came back with two answers. He was like, one, I think, was porn.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to let you guys make fun of your porn. I'm like,
well, that's fine.
And then he said that him and his ex had gone to San Diego Comic-Con, and pictures were being taken by either Playboy or Hustler, and so he had bought a bunch of magazines to find out if they were in there, and they weren't in there. But, like, there's altruistic, and, like, that's cool. And the last magazine that I can remember buying was... Our photographer had started doing cosplay, had started doing a cosplay magazine, and he put my wife in it on the first one, so we bought one of those. I'm sure there's one that I've purchased since then, but I can't think of it offhand, so that's what I went with. What was yours, man?
Mine's dumb. It's not porn, but it's almost porn. No, it was porn. This is going to be way back machine, because I actually stopped subscribing to Game Informer quite a while ago, and that was going to be my answer, and then I was like, no, actually, I think it was a long fucking time ago. We were at San Diego Comic-Con, and it was the time that Olivia Munn was...
I have that Playboy, actually. We just we unpacked one of our boxes. I was like, oh, hey, that's when you were hot, before you became Olivia Munn.
And so they were giving... There was a ice cream truck outside San Diego Comic-Con that was giving away popsicles and copies of the Playboy. And Terry
this
and I...
This seems like such a snake deal.
Terry and I were, like, trying to go for it. And we... By the time they had already sold out, and we got popsicles, but we didn't get, like, you know, porn. We're like, God damn it. And so we're like, we got to go try to find it before it's, like, out. Because we're like, hey, we want to see her. And she's not even in it naked anyways. So,
not really.
Which sucks. I'm like, damn it. But that's the one. We actually stopped at, like, one of the gas stations between here and California on our way back. And we both bought magazines. We opened them. We're like... Oh, that was the last magazine
she
I bought.
She was basically naked her in Magic Mike.
I never saw Magic Mike, so.
First one was actually pretty good.
That was my last one.
Yeah.
Gay porn.
Now we can just type it into the Google bar.
Yeah, it's good to feel something in your hands.
Your dick?
Yeah, that's right. Something else in your hands.
The mouse?
Something else in your hands.
How many hands do you got?
That's like Pennywise, man.
All right, so for this week's pod question, I want to know, what's your biggest fear?
Fuck you.
Probably did it before, but I don't care.
I don't think we did. What if we did? One of my biggest fears is being, repeating things. So, yes.
Groundhog's Day is my biggest fear.
What's your biggest fear?
Groundhog's Day.
What's your biggest fear?
Groundhog's Day. I got you, babe.
I kind of want to watch that movie again. I have not watched it in forever.
The DVD is way better than the...
Blu-ray?
Well, but the disc version is way better than what you get on TV, because
yes.
He kills himself a lot of different times.
Oh, yes. I saw that movie when I was a kid in the theater, and I didn't get it.
This was PG.
Yeah, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I'm watching, I'm like, what the fuck? I'm trying to watch Dark Crystal to catch up so we can watch the show. And I watched the... We've watched the movie because I don't remember the fucking movie at all.
That's not good.
Eh. It's not that. No. But I'm like... I was telling Jackie, I was like, man, we watched some fucked up shit when we were kids.
Yep, because I mean, by the time I think I was like six, I'd already watched Legend and...
Dear Lord.
Dark Crystal, Labyrinth, obviously. Pink Willow...
Willow, I watched.
I'd watched the Star Wars trilogy. So, like, I'd watched a bunch of heavy shit by the time I was a kid. And now I sit down with, you know, my daughter and we're watching Tots.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't...
You're like, how do we go through Legend in there?
She doesn't want to watch anything...
That's not animated?
That's not what she wants to watch. Like, if she doesn't want to watch it, she's not interested. She doesn't like it.
Yeah. And
I'm like, can we... You might like this. Like, I put on Tiny Toons. I was like, I'm watching this. If you want to be in here with me, you have to watch it. Watch an episode. She was like, can we watch another one? I was like, god damn right we can. Like, trust me. I am your father. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to this episode. Oh, wait. No. Hold on. Whoop. Send us your answers to BatandHammer@gmail.com. BatandHammer on Twitter. Spring is a Geek on Facebook. You can reach me. I am at Tara Skippy.
I'm at Craig Kalis. Make sure to like us, love us, and share us again every Monday morning on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Stitcher. And if you want to listen to the spoiler-filled review of it, then stay tuned. Otherwise,
ladies and gentlemen, you've listened to episode 325 of Sprinkles and Geek. So we're Sprinkles and Geek. I'm Bat.
I'm Hammer.
And Brace your Geek.
Have a great week.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and get into our spoiler-filled review of It Chapter 2. The losers have to get back together. It's 27 years later. One of them stayed in Deary. The rest left.
Yeah.
And as time passes and the further you get away from the town, you forget everything that happens, essentially.
Yeah.
So some people start dying in weird ways again. He knows that every 27 years this is a cycle, so he needs to bring the losers back together.
I want to pause.
Sure.
Where do we hear and learn that it's every 27 years?
I know in this one we do.
Okay.
And I thought they made reference to it in the last one where they did some... They did research of, like, something happened in the 50s and 60s, yeah. And they were like, oh, okay, blah, blah, blah. But I can't... It's been 2 years since I've seen the movie. And that's one of the things that, you know, we talked about earlier, is that I think you need to refresh yourself to catch up on a lot of the things.
Yeah.
So he has to get all the losers back together. They get together, they're hanging out, and he's like, oh, hey, by the way, there's a clown trying to kill people. And they're like, what the fuck? And they all try to scatter and leave. Through convincing one of them, the James McAvoy
character,
he basically, once he convinces one, he can convince the rest.
Yeah.
They then in turn have to find totems to that had some sort of connection to themselves as kids.
Something to sacrifice, essentially.
And something to push in. There's like a Native American
leather canister thing.
That can be used to kill the demon, I guess. So they have to all split up and find their totems.
Yeah.
And you kind of get flashbacks as to why they're going to certain locations and why they're finding their totems. They end up finding all their totems. They go to where, and this is where they poke fun at Stephen King a lot in this, of like, you don't know how to write endings.
Yeah.
And this is where he doesn't know how to write endings. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is part of the... Like, I haven't read the book. So I don't know if this is part of the book or they changed it for the movie. But Pennywise is essentially an alien organism that crashed on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would rather him just be a supernatural thing.
Yeah.
As opposed to having some sort of manifestation of what he is. Like, I don't care what he is. And finding out what he was, I was like, that kind of cheapens everything a little bit for me.
I knew he was. Because I've heard that say, like, people who've read the books or talk about the movies and stuff like that always say, like, yeah, he's an alien. And I'm like, well, makes sense because Stephen King loves fucking aliens.
He does. He does.
Like, Dreamcatcher, which is a terrible movie, but I fucking love it still, nonetheless, is like, you have two aliens fighting. And you're like, all right.
No, he loves aliens.
So, I mean, it makes sense, but it didn't feel like...
It doesn't make sense. It just... It's his M.O.
I expected it, so it didn't really upset me. Okay. And it didn't, like, upset me, like, where, like, the crystal skull fucked with me a bit.
Right.
Because we're talking about subvertry expectations. Where, for crystal skull, we expect... or Indiana Jones in general, we expected sci-fi... Or we expected horror, not sci-fi. We expected it to be, like, or fantasy and stuff like that, and mystery and stuff like that. And then it pops in aliens, you're like, oh, you're mashing weird things. So I can kind of see, because this is... mystery, horror, and then all of a sudden he jams sci-fi in there too, and you're like, and the sci-fi is the last part, so it's taped on the end.
Yes, it is, and it feels tacked on almost. Like, it almost feels like Stephen King was writing a book and he died before he got to finish it, and somebody else came in to finish it.
Maybe they did.
And they went with their own ideas that wasn't his idea type of thing.
Maybe.
Kind of like how Game of Thrones, like, went off the fucking rails the last season. You're like, what the hell? Like, there are character motivations that aren't there. It's kind of what it feels like here.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they go to the crash site to seal the totem. And then we get our final appearance of Pennywise. And there's not a lot of Pennywise in this movie, which is kind of sad for how long the movie is.
It is a long movie.
He's in scenes, and he's... Skarsgård is still really good.
He's really good.
But it didn't, I didn't leave this as I left the first It.
Mm-hmm.
Or It, part one. When I left part one, I was like, that was fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. I love that. I left this like, all right. That was fine.
That was pretty close to where I left it off, too, is that at the It, the first one, like, holy shit, that was a surprising... Like, that surprised me how much I liked it. Like, I liked it
especially
so much
because you hate horror movies.
I do, but it made me laugh, and it was a fun... It was a roller coaster. It was a genuine roller coaster. There was moments of scares and moments of glee. And this movie also had a lot of those.
Yes.
And Bill Hader, fucking amazing.
Dude, he stole this movie.
100%. Like, god
now,
damn.
Now, McAvoy's amazing and everything, so, like, but I expect McAvoy to be great.
But McAvoy was just there. To me, Bill Hader
was the star of this movie.
Yes. And, but there's so many moments, not even just him, of other people that they make you laugh and in between a little bit when, like, you know, something crazy, terrible happens and all of a sudden they make a joke and it's very... You're like, oh, that's off point, but they do it so often, they honestly do it pretty damn well that
it
feels good.
Right.
But I do agree that this movie ended with me leaving going like, okay, rather than damn.
Right.
It was still good.
And I think we talked about that after the first one. Was like, I actually kind of don't want them to make a part two.
Yeah.
Because this was so good that I don't know if you can match the expectations.
And they're maybe a victim of their own success. Like, the first one was really fucking good.
Yes.
This one was good.
Yeah.
No means is it bad. It's just...
Yeah, exactly.
It's got its down moments
Perfect.
I still don't get the whole spider thing. And I've never seen the original all the way through. I realize this because people talk about the spider thing with Tim Curry, and I have no fucking clue what they're talking about. And then I get to this, and I'm like, oh.
The head that sprouted fucking...
That was fucking...
That was creepy as hell.
There are some things like that I was like, oh dear lord.
You did it, you crazy sons of bitches, you did it.
But I mean, like, actually I'm almost a little like flipped to what you said, is like there wasn't as much Pennywise. I feel like there was too much Pennywise in full light, or too much Pennywise, like he wasn't as much in the shadows. Like the thing with the little girl, fucking awesome. That messed me up hard.
That was
like,
brutal.
That was brutal, but it was amazing. Because I'm like, oh, what's going on? But, But there's a lot of scenes where, especially at the end, where they show him too much. I'd rather them to scale it back.
The House of Mirrors, where McAvoy's on one side and Pennywise is in the other and the boy's in the middle. And I felt it went on a little long and was just kind of like, okay...
And it did, I agree, it felt off because it took the characters away rather than doing a story that was about his past, it was in the future, and all their stories that separate were all about their past, essentially.
Yep.
Except for the initial scene, so it's
But I mean, that was his past, but it felt long.
Yeah.
Just the two of them pounding on the windows just felt long.
And it ruins kind of tension a bit. See, for me, it was like, it literally is that whole last scene. I loved it with Bill Hader scene where they tried to make Pennywise terrifying in daylight, and it actually was good because of what happened with the people in the background. Yeah. Like, I thought that was amazing because they don't do a lot of horror in daylight, which is great to see. But, like, at the end, I just wanted them to be a little more mystery unless, hey, we have a huge CGI clown spider thing. Like, having him pop around or something like that would have been more fun to me rather than seeing just a big spider chase them around, I guess. It was a very slow car chase.
Kinda. It was, he was at that spider for a long time.
Yeah, that's the majority we see Pennywise, I would feel like, is that part.
Yeah.
Had some great... Again, I saw someone post, and it didn't spoil for me, but they just said, it's my favorite comedy of the year. And I'm like, I get it. Because it is probably one of the best comedies I've seen this year.
I mean, yeah, it did make me laugh a lot, and that was... The casting was pretty good. Like, I don't know half of the people that were the grown-ups.
Yeah. Well, I don't know the dude who was the nervous one.
Right.
I didn't know him.
But I knew the kid, because the kid is in Shazam.
Yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. You're right. Fuck, I forgot.
The other kid who Bill Hader is the kid in Stranger Things.
Yeah. Apparently, Bill Hader went on a casting call, said that... That kid said, well, they said, who would you pick to be your adult thing? And he's like, Bill Hader. And he's like, that's literally the next day or two, I got a call. And I'm like, dude, this fucking kid's got power. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. The ending, it stumbles. It doesn't fall. It's not as good of an ending as I like. It
doesn't stick the landing, sadly.
Like, if you would have made a really, really climactic ending and then left off with what they did about them going on doing their separate things, that would have been beautiful.
I kind of wish they'd set up another It where... Mm-hmm.
They didn't really actually kill him.
What is it? Eddie was the one that died?
Yeah.
Where, like, since there's a body there, he has something else that he can inhabit, essentially.
Like, it's basically never get away.
Kind of.
Can you imagine Grandpa?
But, like, they're gone, so he's done with them, you know, and they're... By the time they come back, they even said they'd be in their 70s. He'd be like, he wouldn't care about them at all.
Yeah.
I liked it. I am going to say go see it. I didn't love it as much as I did the first It.
I'm definitely going to see it. Again, same thing, I think, just on a little bit more liking it than you, maybe. But I definitely agree. It's like, I also will agree back to what we said before, is please go see the first one before seeing this one.
Yes.
Because it does a good job of trying to induct you. But you are missing out.
There's
if you
a
haven't
lot
seen
that I totally forget.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to episode 325 of Sprinkles and Geek. So for Sprinkles and Geek, I'm back.
I'm Hammer.
Embrace your geek.
Have a great week.
Today, Sarah's like, there's seeds in a garden. And I'm like,
is that a Thomas A. Palm Garden joke?
She's like, did you just get that? Yes. She's like, are you serious? I'm like, I don't know why I didn't put together there were seeds in a garden. She's like, I wonder if Brian put that together.
I didn't. It just never clicked to me, but it's not like one of those like, oh, moments like, oh, I get it. Okay, cool.
No, it's not.
But like, I knew it was seed. I knew it was garden. And I'm like... Oh.
Yeah, she said that. I was like...